Why did I spend 20 minutes trying to get everything sorted for you to dial out and screw it all up?
Because I wanted to see if it was going to fix them.
Well, it hasn't fixed your video, that's for sure.
My video is perfectly fine.
Not here. Oh, there we go. Here it is. There we go.
I didn't press the button yet.
No, the button. Well, it pressed it without you then. So there's got something else wrong now.
No, I pressed it now. Where the F is my remote?
Ding dong, eh? Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. We've done pretty well, actually. We're only 20 minutes late. That's going. We're booking. Welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, the whole week in Apple. And of course, there's been no news this week. And based on the fact we've got the most news we've probably had all year to talk about this week, Muller thought he'd invite 20 people. Luckily, only 6 have shown up. 7 plus me, 8. 8, there we go.
I know I'm on the shoulder, Ewan, but I'm still here.
Just in case you can't see him, just here, there's Callum on Dave's shoulder, because I've only got a 6-way panel here and I can't get everyone in. I need to make a 10-way panel so that everyone's happy.
No, I thought that we were here to sing We Are the World.
Could be doing it.
We are the children.
It's a COVID-safe Live Aid. From BTS.
Actually, we're almost white enough to be a tribute album. A condescending. There are no problems anywhere else in the world except for this one nation known as Africa. Africa is it called that one nation called Africa? Oh, there you go.
No, actually, the number of people we've got is actually equivalent to a 70s rock band that was decided to be formed whilst taking drugs.
No, we have enough people to just be the horn section of a 70s rock band.
Seen
those, like, they got a horn section, they got a string section, and somehow they're a funk band, and it's great.
Yeah, no, Earth, Wind, and Fire, I'm thinking.
That was a commitment.
Dude, no, AWB, bruh, straight out of freaking Scotland, and they had literally some of the best jams and one of the most sampled records in hip-hop, right? If you go Schoolboy Crush from AWB, like in 80s hip hop, it was everywhere. And then people found out, like, what? Those guys are from Scotland?
My life was half over by the 80s.
Yeah. And Cal's going, what's a 70s rock band?
Yeah. What were the 70s?
You see videos of like the horn section from Tower of Power. These are people that I love the irony of. They look like they got beaten up every day in high school for like being like, you know, band weenies, and now they are like the high octane behind like one of the best bands in the world at that time.
See, now that's
a take your word for it.
Welcome to this week in 70s rock bands. My name's Ewan Reckin. Joining me, I've got a fantastic panel, just rubbing the sleep from his eyes, Doc Rock.
Yes.
How you going, brother?
It's good. It's good. I am every day hustling, having a freaking time of it. I'm wondering why everybody's complaining about 2020, because I'm making it work.
You got your socks out on, haven't you?
My socks? Yes, yeah. Always.
Right. I just thought that might be a warning in homage to Andy.
Oh, no, never mind, Andy. I'm a card-carrying member of the Red Sox Nation.
Yeah, but
I tell Andy I don't wear this because of him.
But he's about, you had an opportunity there to make Andy feel special, and you threw him under the bus. Forget it.
No!
I would do the rest of the show as Big Poppy. Okay, Jude. I'd like to talk to you about the iPhone 12. It's going to be such a good, and now they make it in a blue.
He was fronted a game, didn't it? Is that a Red Sox blue? Yeah.
Thank you. We also would have accepted the answer. Oh, look at that.
Big Poppy.
Are you feeling all right, mate?
Me?
Yeah.
It's no caffeine, not kick yet. It's 5 a.m. and I don't know where my kids are.
You haven't got any kids?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's shit.
Don't you remember that commercial? It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your kids are? Like, that was a thing in, like, mid-80s. And so you guys started talking retro stuff, and then it popped in my head.
So the thing is, you said, I just said no.
Yeah. I forgot. No, I didn't say no. It was the 80s. Come on.
This conversation's not going to improve. I'm moving on. Mr. Anatko, how the devil are you?
Well, I hope that things work out okay because we are starting like 20 minutes late. So the drugs I took are probably going to peak 20 minutes later than I was anticipating. So I was hoping that by the time we talk about the iPhone 12 Pro camera, boom, that's when like all the chemicals would mesh perfectly. So if I'm a little bit off, that's all right. We'll just power through it.
Are you well, my friend? Because we haven't seen you in a while.
Yes. No. I'm everything is fine by 2020 standards. We're experiencing the sort of like fraudulent part of like New England weather right now. That like 3 week period in which, oh my God, the leaves are turning such beautiful colors, and oh, the apple cider donuts, honey, let's get apple cider donuts. And this is the time when people who are not quite from New England who come in again for the fall colors and for the crisp but not cold weather, they're the people who like come home after this beautiful like touristy week in New York, in New England, and think, honey, we should buy property here. Like, no honey, you shouldn't. It's not like that all the time. Winter's coming. we've just dealt with summer, and plus we still have plowing yet to come, so you know.
I've always been into autumn here in the UK. I've always loved the colors and the reds and the browns and that kind of stuff, but I've got to say, I did work in autumn in Grand Rapids in Michigan. And I drove from my family in Detroit on I-94 out to Grand Rapids to do the work. I've never seen so many different shades of brown and red in my entire life. It was stunning compared to the UK. I've always loved it.
I am next door to a state called Vermont that was named after the color of the trees. And so, yes, I have. There have been times where it's like I've had like a bad time, and I said, you know what? This Monday has already gone south, and it's only 11 a.m. I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to drive to Vermont. I'm going to get a diner lunch and a diner dinner. Drive around these beautiful, beautiful trees where they're like, we crest a hill, and then suddenly you explode into this valley of reds and yellows that are like, even for a New Englander, I have to say, dude, God.
Yeah, that'll do.
Good job. Thank you. I understand why people come here for the syrup. Come for the syrup, stay for the colors.
Next to Andy, Mr. Gamut.
You know, I have to agree with Andy on New England colors. We get amazing colors here in the fall, but it is not New England color. you need to experience fall in the Colorado mountains at some point, because the aspens, when they turn, you have entire mountainsides that are just this beautiful yellow and amber, and with an occasional splash of red thrown in, and it's absolutely wonderful. But since we're at a higher altitude, we're already past that, and
you've got an entire distillery of the best gin in the world that we can sit and drink while we watch it turn brown.
True. Yes. And actually, there are a lot of aspen trees around Spirit Hound, the distillery. And yeah, they have a beautiful patio. So when it's safe, come out in the fall, and we will have gin and gin mules on the patio at Spirit Hound, and just soak up the alcohol and the colors.
Sold. Sold. You should be a tour guide. Sold. You want to start a travel company. There you go. Just do it in your underpants.
I'm putting another pin in my world map of friends who have invited me to come to their place and drink because it's beautiful. So thank you.
Yeah, no, technically he's invited you.
And Andy, that the invitation, actually everyone, the invitation is always open.
Yeah, we'll do the next show, this show next year. So whatever the date is, the Friday nearest to the 16th of October next year, we're all resolving we're going to actually come to Jeff's place and do it from the Spirit Hound balcony.
Yeah.
Pissed out of our faces.
You know,
did it have any meat that you can grill on a stick?
With them to make sure that we have an amazing time.
Doc won't come seriously. Unless there's grilled meat.
Do you like grilled meat? Like trucks and.
I got to say, I'm iffy. We'll have an awesome time. Next in, Patrice, how you doing, mate?
Doing good.
I'm sharing a line with Jeff.
All that talk about alcohol intake, I wanted. Especially like fall here in Austria and like big parts of Germany, it's mostly gray. It's like dark gray. It's wet. It's just nasty. There's a little color here and there, but it's like gray.
Yeah, but you're all still pissed from Oktoberfest. because it finished the first week in October. So,
but yeah, that's true.
That's the best thing ever. You create a festival called Oktoberfest that actually runs in September.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bravo.
They were drunk.
I mean, it was
fantastic. Yeah, there's an endorsement right there.
Yep, that's like that's the best. Didn't happen this year, so.
Oh man. Well, but I'm sure it did in private homes.
Yeah, there was a really funny video that the Munich police posted the other day. They basically said this was the calmest Oktoberfest they've ever had. And they were just standing on the empty lot where the Oktoberfest.
That wasn't the worrying part. Wow. The worrying part was that they couldn't work out why.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably still drunk. So.
Here's a joke for you. Why do they spell donuts, D-O-N-U-T-S, and not D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T-S in America as it should be spelled?
Have you seen the school systems?
Because if they spelt it the long version, cops would starve.
My cousin was a police. Well, he was a security officer at a mall.
Oh God, Paul Blart!
You have strapped on Bob that Lark. Belt with
my
that
cousin was Paul Blart.
Understand the problems. Oh, I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm not peeking late enough. I'm sorry.
All right, mate. Next to him, we're going to do an hour and a half on introductions here. Chuck, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm good, Ewan. I'm good. And since we're doing this week in autumn, Pennsylvania competes with New England. I think it loses most of the time, but there are some years that we are spectacular here. So if you are headed to New England from the rest of the country and can't quite get there, Pennsylvania is a nice stop.
I love the fact that he's going, look, we know that New England's better than us, but some years we got vintage leaves.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Exactly. Well, also, did I mention the aggressive tax credits available to vacationers and light business in the Route 128 corridor? Oh, handy to freight terminals and international airports. New England is your base of operations for a connectivity fluctual America.
Yeah, but Andy, you guys have sealed your borders practically. You have to have COVID tests to get in.
It's mostly to keep the New Yorkers out. You understand? Now that was just a ruse. You're in Pennsylvania. You of all people should understand the importance of defense against New York Yankees fans at all costs. Mets fans occasionally, because you can talk to Mets fans.
Okay, that's better. You scared me for a minute. And and Chuck is right. Pennsylvania is just after, but the dopest drive in America in the fall is Shenandoah Valley. Period. Point blank. And then you get up to Alleghenies and you slide up to Williamsport. So that is the best drive in the fall.
But the people you want to really weed out, Andy, are the Jets fans because they're nutters.
100%.
That's 100%. Yeah. Can I just give you this is the British Tech Network. We seem to be packing the court here as Americans, and that's why we're talking about nothing but United States fall tourism. This is why you need to put more British people on the bench.
I haven't got to the British bloke yet.
On other things.
No, I haven't got to the British bloke yet. Hang on. He's next.
The
British bloke. Callum from My Men Max. How you doing, mate?
I'm very good. And this week on Autumn Watch, it's very nice, actually, near where I live. You will probably know it. None of you will know it. But a place called Earlswood Lakes. It's beautiful in the autumn. You walk around. Lots of lovely colours. And there's a lake there as well, which is very nice.
Give that away, Cal.
I used to date a girl from Earlswood, and her father invented the round dice.
What?
It was a round dice you could roll.
It was called balls.
And it would, no, it was a round dice, and when you rolled it, it would stop on a number. And her dad invented it.
Now I have to Google this.
Hello, Sarah, if you're listening, which you won't be. And next to him, last but by no means least, Mr. Ginsburg, very patient. How the devil are you?
I'm doing well. I might as well continue on this week in autumn. Chicago has got some great colors here as well. My tree outside is the first tree that goes and right outside my back door, and the colors are absolutely beautiful, and it's been just a glorious color so far. And it's Friday, and it's nice to be here.
I've got family in Detroit, as I said. The only thing wrong with Chicago is it's on the wrong side of the lake.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. I do like Michigan, though. I like the west side of Michigan is my favorite.
We always go on about Americans not being worldly and stuff, but if you talk to most British people, they cannot grasp the fact that you get on a plane in Detroit to go to Chicago and you fly over water that's just a lake. And they go, okay, it's just a lake. And they don't get the fact that actually for a great part of that flight, they can't see any land. It's that big a lake. And that just blows their minds. That scares the hell out of them. Anyway, moving on. Not like Apple did much this week, is it?
No.
That's not bad. That's only 18 minutes.
This is the best tourism show I've ever been on.
Yeah.
If you want any further information, write to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and I'll send you all the email addresses and you can get all the tourist brochures from these six. Seven. If you really want to go to Wellswood. The week in Apple, all stuff's gone on. The HomePod, I think. Let's start with the announcement because obviously it was an announcement. There's nothing else to talk about. HomePod Mini, first of all. And I'm going to do a thumbs up, thumbs down at the end of this, so have a think about that. First impressions, boys.
Like one of those candles that you put on your table.
Yes.
Yeah, Andy kept saying it's a scented candle. Or Leo, one of them two kept saying it's a scented candle.
It does think it's going to puff something out in your face, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, can I say that it all comes back to New England because Leo and I are both like New Englanders. So when someone said, "I wonder how would you describe the size of it," and both of us said, "Oh, it's about the size of a candlepin bowling ball." Like
it's duck pin, Andy. That's what I was trying to remember. It's called duck pin to us. You guys were killing me because I got stuck on candlepin, but we call it duck pin.
Was that like a everything comes from Greek kind of moment? Exactly. No, everything comes from New England. Windex, this made in New England.
All I'll say is that I'm glad that Apple has finally realized that you know selling a $350 smart speaker and that's the only smart speaker you have and your pitch is and now we go to the special video about the sound profile and dynamics of the special unobtainium's metal that we use to create these speaker housings where people has proven that if it sounds great, that's great. The sound is wonderful. Oh, that's just great. But what actually people want is good sounding speakers, but affordable enough that they can put them wherever they want to go. So I really think the most important thing they did was simply make a speaker that sounds really good, but it's competitive with all the $100 speakers that are being made by Amazon and Google. Too bad they can't do a $30 speaker, but it's so ridiculous with Google and Amazon that we're now entering the period of the year near Christmas where it'll almost truly become impossible to do any transaction on the internet where they do not throw in a free $30 smart speaker. But $99 for a pod is going to be
great. Well, I was going to say, I was like, $99, I'm in. I'll give that a go any day of the week. And then I went on Amazon, and Amazon's got the Echo at £49 here. And it's just like, oh, the little golf ball one. And you're just like, you know the sound's going to be decent out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one that I've only bought two, but I probably have four or five. And this one I put on my desk attached to like a little like battery thing, only because it's so the Google Assistant is so useful, and I count on it. I use it so often that it's nice to wherever I am not have to act like my kids or like my personal assistant is in the other room. Like Becca, what time is my flight tomorrow, Becca? Where I think you can simply say, hello, Becca, where is my, my flight is 2 o'clock tomorrow. Oh, yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
But Andy, with it sitting on your desk, that way it can hear you so much more clearly and all your conversations and phone calls and all. So I'm sure Google appreciates that.
Yeah, hey, man, you know that Google is only out there to steal your information and sell it to people. If you're not paying for the product, you are the product, man.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm making fun of people that I'm sorry. Like I said.
I tossed you that softball. I'd have been disappointed if you hadn't hit it out of the park.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of softballs, Chuck, the mini pod really is pretty dope.
No, I just want to point out to Chuck, because he's a conspiracy theorist, but what he's never noticed in all the years he's been on shows is that those six strobo lights that are behind him, every 18 minutes flash in a set sequence that repeats. And he's looked!
That's signaling the aliens just to let them know if I need picked up.
What is Andy doing?
I mean, that's what a good assistant should know every phone call and everything you do. So, I mean, I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, but that's only if you pay her $20,000 a year and it's a real person.
Oh, okay.
That's too funny. Yeah. But I think the coolest thing about this guy is probably going to be...
I can hear less than 149.
Oh, yeah. I just realized I've got Patrice Twice and Jeff Zero on the main shot. Sorry.
I know, I already took a screenshot of it because I thought it was so awesome.
Oh, I feel so bad now.
I'm sorry. Do you have like audio feature? Some of us are more popular than others, so people want to see Patrice twice as much as they want to see anybody else. Not that I would doubt that. I'm just saying. I hope it's not reflected in our compensation.
I feel so bad.
Now we're side. Now we're side by side. Me and the Calbs.
Side by side and in the middle.
No, because that's doing a direct screen grab. So carry on, Jeff. You were saying?
I was saying that I didn't expect the HomePod Mini to be any less than $149. So yeah. when they announced $99, I was glad I was sitting down because I was genuinely shocked.
I'm agreeing. I said, if this is $99, I'll buy six. Otherwise, I don't think I'll be buying any. And lo and behold, Barrett popped in.
Yeah, we all said 149 on the Jeff-hosted show that you probably haven't got the recording yet. We all agreed that 149 was the price. Because somebody said 199, and then we kind of pushed them backwards and then said, no, it'd be 149. I think Dave and I came up with the 149. Anyway, 99 was a shock.
We were all thinking it was going to be 99, and then we thought, no, it's Apple. It's always more than you expect. And then we said 149, and then we went, no, it's always more than that, so it's probably going to be 199. So we were all wrong, which is good.
Yeah. Well, more important. Yeah, amazing price. I really dig the intercom system that's going to be available. And I also dig that I also heard, I for those who don't know, I have two HomePods sitting right next to me here. The regular HomePod's going to allow for intercom as well. So that is really going to give a nice, if you decide you want to buy a couple of these HomePod minis and meld in with your HomePods, you'll be able to utilize that. I thought that was a really great thing. And again, it's just a neat little small device, and you can have them all around the house, and it's not going to kill you.
There was a story about the ubiquity of, Apple's intercom feature works on iPhone, iPad, HomePod, Apple Watch, AirPods, and CarPlay. So there's quite a ubiquitous stretch there, isn't there, which is good. If you're going to release an intercom feature, it ought to at least talk to all your devices. Just saying.
One of the cool things they did was with the CarPlay version of it as well, is they even went as far as to think about how it would work, you know, in the car. So I think that was a nice little touch that will go missed in the, you know, sort of promo, but when you have it in play, you'll go, I think that's one of those features.
And at $99 per, this wins the holiday shopping season. There's no question.
It's going to be sold out.
Well, unless
it's going to be completely sold out.
Unless you're in the ecosphere of Amazon and don't care about HomeKit. If you care about HomeKit, totally agree. But if you're in Amazon, I'm sitting looking at I was all in at $99, and then I went on Amazon Prime and it's £49. I'm like,
you're also stuck with a smart speaker that doesn't work with Spotify. And smart speakers are really, they're not really accessories. They're really platforms in and of themselves. So it's one of the rare categories where it's perfectly, the Apple smart speaker is absolutely competing on an absolutely flat playing field with everybody else, which I think is the reason why whenever you see Apple come up with a lower cost version of something, you know that they've got competition in that space. If they if this were a laptop, if this were a desktop sort of thing, they would continue to sell you $350 smart speakers. But for $99, if I were, I had the ability to choose between Amazon smart speakers and Google smart speakers, and I chose the Google system because I found when I had both of them, both the Alyosha and the Guillermo in my office at the same time, I was asking Guillermo more questions than Alyosha because I was getting so much better responses. And now if you try to take that experience and make Alyosha compete with the Google Assistant, for now is just so much better at at answering questions, so much better at conversation. The voice technology, I think, is much better. So it's not as though by default someone who is an Apple person is absolutely going to jump on this bandwagon. And they might just look at, well, for $99, I can get also the absolute latest generation Google Assistant smart speaker, which is the sound is amazing. Again, not as good as what you'd spend on a $500 or $400 one, but very much good enough. It can be paired. Feature-wise, it competes very, very well with almost any almost anything that the Apple speaker can do. So that's why I don't think you're wrong, Chuck. It's also much the Apple speaker is so much cooler looking. It's an Apple product. You know that when you get a problem with it. Again, once we are let out of our houses again, you can go anywhere for support. But I love the idea that whereas Apple Watch owns absolutely you got me excited about a topic, and unfortunately, I ran away with it.
Happens all the time, mate.
But I'm saying is that it's going to be really, really cool to see as an Apple user a product where you have an absolutely free choice. You're not locked into anything. It'd be great if they made it like that. Oh, sorry, that's where I was going with. It would be great if they made it like the Apple Watch, where we've taken such great advantage of the integration that we have available to us as makers of all the computers, that makers of the phone, makers of this, makers of that. The only way that they've really taken advantage of that for now is the intercom speaker, the intercom feature. They haven't done the sort of thing where it's like, oh my God, if I'm an Apple user, why would I buy anything other than an Apple Watch? They haven't answered the question, if I'm an Apple user, God, why would I even look at any other smart speaker?
There's a good point here from Pete in the chat room. He's saying we're talking about intercom, and he's saying ... but it doesn't work on Mac, and that is a little bit of an oversight.
Okay, not yet. I'm pretty sure that's coming, no. Big Sur. It's probably one of those features that simply like take a little while. One more data point for like how Apple sees this product. They're selling it for not even $99 here in Europe. Usually if Apple sells anything, like it's at least 10-15% over what the US price is. And they're selling it very competitively here for, I think in Germany it's like 96 euros something. So that's
How's the euro doing against the dollar at the moment though?
The euro is pretty strong right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But that means that you would actually pay less.
I might be visiting you to buy me iPhone 12.
It could be about 88, 89 euros if you just without taxes. So yeah, that's about 97 euros. So that's more or less exactly what they're charging in Germany right now.
Yeah, 100 euros is $116.
Yeah. So.
That's about right then, isn't it? With tax,
with taxes. So
yeah, with tax adjustment, that's correct. So yeah, they've adjusted. So you might see actually that the 12 drops in price as well.
Yeah, it doesn't. The 12 Pro is about 150 euros more than if you just converted it and added tax.
All right.
So
quick question for everybody, and not beating on anybody. I'm really asking: is anybody here using Spotify?
Nope.
I quit recently. I mean, I quit maybe 3 months ago because my DJ software, Spotify, decided they were too cool for DJs. And so Michael Simon and the guys over at Algorithm, they used to have a setup where that if I was doing an event, you know, somebody comes up and asks for a weird song like Andy wanted to hear Tiptoe to the Tulips by Tiny Tim, I was able to pull it from Spotify and play it at the event. Spotify decided they didn't want to do that anymore. They got too big for themselves. So Tidal swooped in, and my DJ software said at first I was angry. I was like, man, I don't want to switch to Tidal. They don't have as much music, whatever. Turns out Tidal has way more music than Spotify, which is kind of crazy. I lost Hulu with it, but that's okay. I didn't care. It turned right around, and Apple gave me Hulu with something else for free. So, yeah, I got rid of Spotify. And Tidal sounds better. To be honest,
I'm on the edge of getting rid of Spotify. It's doing my head in.
I don't think it's a great music. I've never thought it was a great music service.
No, I'm all in. I'm Apple Music all the way. I had Spotify. I just didn't like it.
Well, I asked because of Andy's point about, you know, that the HomePod Mini doesn't, or HomePod ecosystem doesn't support Spotify? And is that really a big deal for the Apple people? Or will it require them to make a change?
Yeah.
Mm. Now, just for everyone who's listening on audio, Andy raised his hand.
Oh, no, no, I'm sorry. I'm very, very interested to hear that. And I'm also very, very keen to now to give Tidal another chance. Google really so absolutely stepped on a rake with their music service by switching everybody over from a adequate but not great Google Play Music to YouTube Music, which was absolutely not ready for use by any human in a country that has civil rights laws, because it's just horrible. So I finally, I've always had an Apple Music subscription just so I could have it, just so I can, you know, occasionally I have to write about it. And I tried doing Apple Music, but it had the same problem that I've always had with subscription music services, where I take out my phone, I want to listen to music. I don't want, okay, no, fall jams, no, I don't really care. Hey, it's voting time, here's some, no, I don't want music to vote by. Like, hey, here's some new artists. No, look, you know, remember that there was an Annie Lennox album that I didn't have that I discovered that I'm really listening to right now? I would be great if you could just, like, let me play that Annie Lennox live album that I just found 2 days ago. And said, okay, fine, yes, Thanksgiving is coming up. Here's a music list for preparing your turkey. Like, I think that for me, Spotify is the best interface for just simply playing music. Granted, I'm one of those really weird people who actually buys music on physical media so I can rip them and put them on my server. So for the most part, my music is being played off of Plex, off of my NAS, but Apple Music doesn't give me my music the way that I want to play it, and so I have to switch to an alternative. But now I'm gonna give these other services a try, particularly Tidal, because for me that's always been the mini speaker, the mini smart speaker of the category. Oh yeah, okay. No, I don't. Look, another offer for 6 months free of Spotify. Okay, excuse me, of Tidal. Like, Plex. Now I can get Tidal. Okay, I really don't care, but thank you. But now I'll have to check it out.
Quick, these are updated for 2020 stats, and here's why. Like, I was with you. I had Tidal at first, and I was like, man, as an audio person, an audiophile, I'll even go as far as to say, it sounded great. It was, like, fantastic. But at the time, I was like, the interface was hokey. They didn't have a good sound selection. But that was way back when they first launched, say, 2017. The current situation, and this will be in order, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, Tidal. Stick to alphabetical order because that's how the chart reads. Amazon, the max is 256 kilobits. Apple's max is 256. Spotify is 320. And Tidal is 1,411. So already sound goes to Spotify. Song count, Amazon 60 million, Apple 60 million, Spotify 50 million, and Tidal 60 million. So it used to be in Tidal, you couldn't find what you wanted. Now they actually have better. And Spotify cheats. Spotify allowed these weirdos to upload these absolute janky, like, broken bootleg instrumentals of things that they couldn't get actual licensure for. And it's on there. And so you go to request, this is not true. I'll just pick this one because it's popular right now. So you go to request Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. And you'll get some Muzak karaoke version instead of what you're actually listening for. And none of the other three services kind of allow that. And so that was always hokey. And I'm like, so Spotify is actually buffering their music count. So their 50 million is probably a lot less than that. And yeah, they started throttling their own sound quality even when you asked for 320 because their services were getting hammered. So they drop you back and they don't tell you, but you have to use a player that can tell you that you're not getting what they said they were supposed to be sending. So they were just doing a bunch of hokey stuff. And so, yeah, I was kind of over Spotify at the moment. So I would tell everyone, if you can, find one of those free things for Tidal and just try it out, because they have grown up a lot in the last year or so. And it's actually pretty good. And the only reason why I just recently canceled Apple Music was I was trying to, like, squeeze in all of the unnecessary services, because I had every service across the board except Pandora up until, you know, pandemic hit.
Yeah,
the amount of times on Spotify I search for a song and you get about 15 karaoke versions of it before you get the one you actually want. It's just unreal. I know what you mean, Doc. Yeah. That's part of the reason why I'm wanting to move away from it. Because it's just doing my head in.
I don't know why.
Say it with me. Karaoke. That karaoke.
Karaoke. Pronunciation lesson. That's why you're small. The thing I always get, and this pisses me off no end, is I pay for Apple Music, and all of us can listen to Apple Music at the same time on all of our family sharing devices. I go on A-Lady, and I say, A-Lady, play some Billy Joel. So she starts playing, and then Bryony goes, play Camila Cabello, and she knocks me off. And Mike, you've got to sort that out. That cannot still take place. I mean, it does it with Prime Music. Okay, if that's a limitation of the service, that's fine. But that is not a limitation on my Apple stuff. And it does. But I also understand that the A device is not controlled in the same way as my iPhone and Bryony's iPhone is.
Yeah, another problem with music through the A-Lady. If you pause music, like I leave to go to the store. So I pause what's playing on the A-Lady. Come back home 90 minutes later and say, A-Lady, resume. No longer remembers that you were playing music. There's a window of time where it will remember what you've done.
But dude, 90 minutes after I finish this show, I've forgotten you.
You mean 90 exactly. seconds? I expect the device to remember because I'm not going
90 seconds?
Yo, A-Lady does that with her own service called Audible Books, like loses my chapters, and I'm like, come on. Like, this is your stuff. You're not, like, being allowed to play someone else's stuff. You actually own Audible. How do you lose my chapter? It irritates me.
Can I just say that this is exactly why whenever I buy media to keep, I always feel as though I want to buy it on Blu-ray. I want to buy it on CD, rip it into a digital file, because that's the only way you have the ability to enjoy the music you've paid for the way that you want to. Because what frustrates me is not the, right now the selection of music catalogs is almost identical across all services. The basic features all work very, very well. Support of additional hardware is also very, very good. But at any point, if they want to change the way that that a feature works, you're stuck, because that's they control the DRM. They can control how you access it. If they decide strategically that it doesn't make any sense for them to support a $20 Amazon or Roku or Google dongle, they want to use this feature, use your library to help you to buy more Apple TVs or whatever proprietary box, they've got you. I love the fact that every time that I've had a music player on my phone or on my streaming box, that they made some sort of an update that I don't like. Okay, I can switch to Kodi, or I can switch to any other app that I want. Those of us who grew up with physical media have always had that big line of demarcation between this is radio, which I have no control over. This is like my tape collection. I have control over this. I'm very, very keen to talk to like someone younger who grew up with streaming services, who feels as though there's no difference between sort of what we thought of as radio and what we thought as a personal music collection. That's perfectly okay to have a library that you don't own that you can access only through the whims and corporate business plan of somebody else.
I would say anyone under 30, I mean, Andy, doesn't have a personal music collection.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
May.
Well, no, I agree. Oh, sorry.
I agree with you because
okay, anyone except the warmth, Callum.
The tubes.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Andy. I mean, I have a vast collection of MP3s that I've had over the years. I mean, I tend to like to keep the music stored locally and have it. And if I want to be able to listen to it, I don't have to be dependent on a music service. It's my collection. It was some CDs I ripped, and I want to have it. So, no, I definitely agree with you with that. That it's a nice thing to have and not be dependent on a music service. And you know, it's yours. You want to have it. Same thing with, like you said, Blu-ray movies or DVDs or anything like that. So, 100%.
I agree with that. I have all of mine lossless. The stuff that was super important to me, I have it lossless on Plex, because I have several lossless players. And yeah, it's that kind of stuff. You know, I have to keep this in my collection is great. Yeah. Then I'll find stuff that I completely forgot about that was like super bomb back in the day. And then I have to go dig between my dad and my brother and see if they still have the disc or the recording. Cause I got rid of all of my media just cause I moved into a smaller house. And yeah,
but
Plex is good about that.
I'm spending so much money like during the quarantine, because I'm spending a lot more time like what started off as, well, I've got to make sure that I haven't really dug deep into my music library and make sure that everything's organized. And I have one folder for incomplete albums, you know, stuff that I ripped back in the day. So I only have like three or four tracks and complete albums. And when I go to that list of like MP3s, I've only have two tracks from this album. I'm like, oh my God, I must have ripped this in like, my friend Scully lent me that CD because I put it on a mixtape where I've only ever heard this song as part of a mixtape. And so the fact that I'll buy the album and say, oh my God, there are nine other songs just as good as this on the set. Wow. I had no idea because I experienced that track completely divorced from the album that it came from.
You're thinking back to 20 years ago when the highest you could rip it was 80 kilobits mono.
Yeah,
I'll never need this again. Like, I'll snap it.
What's really good about Tidal and Plex too is if you happen to have, or say you play on your receiver, right? Or if you have an Echo Studio, yeah, or maybe even the HomePod, is you can get the Dolby Atmos mixes. So on Tidal, you can listen to say Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in the Dolby Atmos setting, and it's amazing. And also now with the new AirPod Pros in the new update, if you're listening to Tidal on the highest level and you do the head movements, like, it's pretty rock solid. So that's another thing that's kind of fun to play with.
Yeah. I just want to say, right, Patrice has been trying to get in for ages, and I was just about to let him in until I read the chat room and he said, this feels like an old person's podcast. Bad luck, Patrice. Moving on.
regarding the HomePod, the really interesting thing is, so the HomePod Mini only supports stereo, but the big HomePod actually will support soon 5.1, or even if you have a stereo pair, 7.1 audio, and they're going to use this weird array that they have to really do 7.1, and that is interesting.
Yeah. Right, before we hit 8 o'clock, I think we should move on to the iPhone. Just saying.
I just want to point out that I have listened to you in the chat room. For people who are not watching video, I have adjusted the bill of my baseball cap so that it's slightly askew in the manner of the youths. So
excellent, mate. It's wiped 10 years off you, man. It really has. Oh,
totally. I didn't. It's like a comb over for anyone that's over 22. But you know, if this is what
Jeff's got a cap, never wears it. Apparently, never.
Apart from that once, wears when it. He was still in bed.
Sounds like you were going to add something. No.
No.
Okay, iPhone 12 then. I did say thumbs up, thumbs down on the HomePod Mini.
Oh, thumbs up.
Oh, unanimous thumbs up. Good grief.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
iPhone 12 then.
Go with one or two. I'll go.
i12, i12 Mini, i12 Pro. Now the one thing that struck me here was I was gobsmacked at how little there was about performance in this with the A14 chip. And yet, actually, if you look at some of the benchmark tests they've done, they're talking about this thing being 25% faster, which is pretty significant. And yet Apple said nothing during the keynote about improvements in performance.
I have a theory about that. I think they're keeping that close to their chest until the Macs come out. They don't want to tip off how good the chip for the Mac is. So they're kind of staying away from that.
Okay. That sounds logical.
That's interesting. But they did say something about
older devices. Like, it's very interesting.
Yeah, but they did have a slide up there about so many. I'm not going to say how many, but it's something 11 point something trillion calculations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that was mind blowing.
Yeah.
I think the big messaging they really wanted to put across is they've always talked about, and because we have the awesome power of our custom A12 Bionic chip, or A13, A14, whatever you want to do, this is the first year in which they really hammered home the point that, and because Apple designed, because it runs on Apple silicon, we are able to optimize our 5G and optimize this and making sure that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just like when they had the event for the iPads, where they're really starting to lay the groundwork for, we're going to be introducing a brand new Mac that runs on our own custom silicon instead of Intel. please don't be scared about that. That is actually a huge feature as opposed to something you should be worried about. Since you have to repeat the phrase Apple Silicon, Apple Silicon, Apple Silicon, so that by the time you introduce it to the thing that will make people worried about buying Apple Silicon, they feel as though they've been administered the local and now they're ready for like the major anesthetic, so to speak.
Mm.
Yeah, it was 11 trillion operations per second and then 11.8 billion transistors. So that it's phenomenal.
I think is this the first time they even talked about their die technology before? I think they're saying that's the first five nanometer process. I think they were talking about. I think that's the first time they've ever talked about anything that's quite that technical. It's a big deal when you're talking about. Mm-hmm. When you talk about like chip structure of why does AMD have the newer lithography for these dies and why can't they keep up with it? I don't think Apple has ever said anything about that before. They're usually very, very focused. This is the same reason why they don't say here's how much RAM that this phone has, here's how much whatever. It's always based on we've done a lot of engineering. We don't need to tell you exactly what the engineering is, but here's why this phone is now faster. Here's what the camera is now doing. Every time you push the shutter, it's taking 20 pictures and taking depth sensing from eight different devices and combining it all and doing so fast that it could still take 20 frames per second. That's usually, particularly in an iPhone event, how they explain all the engineering, all the integration, and all the performance that they put into the device.
I think that
they're a lot more technical than they have been.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Well, they've been bringing us into the lab lately, so that's the legit lab that they have. So,
are we sure that's not a green screen? Is it green screen?
I think it's a set.
No question. Apple it's a set.
It's a real room, but it's a set.
Mm-hmm.
It's a set.
Yeah.
Everything designed to the Apple campus is in some way designed like a set. I'm sure. Not for video, but they would not build a space that does not look like. It was designed to look beautiful and create an impression on people who walk into it. Even the bathrooms, I want to see the janitor closets inside on the Apple campus. I bet they're amazing. Not a single.
I would say from experience that it is a real room, but it does look like a set because even way back when I worked at Apple in the GR, aka Genius Room, if you walked in, you would swear it was like set up for a commercial. Because everything had its place. So even once we're done working, at the end of the day, when we put all the customer machines away and whatever, the room was set up probably that at any moment you walked in, everything was where it was. And the key element to it, which I thought made it so great, when you open the drawer, no matter what station you got, we eventually, created our own little stations. But if you went to someone else's station and you opened the drawer, the T6 was exactly where the T6 was in every station and any GR across the world. I can go to the second drawer, open it, and without looking, grab a T6. So, yes, it is a real room. It's a functioning room. Of course, they went and re-cleaned it right before the thing, but also on a daily basis, it is kind of kept as a model home.
You do know that's why Johnny left, right?
For a company as controlling
someone kept moving his T8 screwdriver and it just drove
him. Johnny left because every time he went to work at the Apple campus, he was like, damn, I'm in the Truman Show.
Patrice. For a company as controlling as Apple, you can say it's 100% guaranteed that every bit of that room, every little single detail, they set up that way. There's nothing in there that wasn't put there on purpose.
And there's hidden messages.
Yeah.
No, I don't think there's hidden messages.
No, I don't think so either. I just said it.
They create a room that sends a message.
Yeah.
Bring a meter tape and go to the Apple store and measure the space between computers. It's the same.
The message. I'm sorry.
I mean to talk over you, but you're absolutely. I couldn't hesitate to say you're absolutely right. You're so right. You're so right.
Good.
And you were worried about my Drobo lights.
and in Argo, the Drobo light of a group podcast. I realize I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Andy, do you want to talk about the camera on the 12 Pro?
Boy, is that exciting.
I want one.
They always improve the camera. That's the one thing you can expect they're going to do every single year. But this is the first time they really seem to go from instead of improving the engineering we already have, let's start to build something that's brand new. It's the first one that made me think that I would be, if I had an iPhone that was only a couple of years old, I might even, as someone who is like really, really keen and interested in photography, this is might get me to upgrade just for the sake of the camera itself. There's always that sideways pitch towards people who are semi-pro photographers who are using these things to do things, to do actual professional work of some caliber. They made that work very, very well. But it seems as though every single problem that I've ever encountered with an iPhone for photography, and I'm including the 11 Pro from last year, they've really addressed. And I'll let other people talk, but a couple that really, really stuck out were the fact that they made the aperture brighter so that it's nice to have a computational photography. And here's how we're faking having a lens that lets in more light. But if you actually have a lens that lets in more light, that's way better. We made the actual sensor bigger, so now the pixels that it's detecting are better, bigger pixels. The former absolute guru, former Stanford lead of processing, who's responsible for leading the team that created the Google camera, gave a great interview. He's now switched to Adobe, and he was asked, "Gee, why do the Pixel phones like always use like these 3-year-old Sony sensors?" And he made this great argument that the thing is, we're almost at the limits of how good an individual pixel can be. And so now it's much more important to create better software to interpret this sort of stuff. But not now, but so the fact they're focusing on not let's cram a 16 megapixel sensor in there, but let's get a much, much better 12 megapixel sensor is such a great thing. The last thing that really mm-hmm. caught my eye, and I really have to bookmark this with, this is speculation, this is like real nerd sort of stuff, is that they've changed the way that they do image optical image stabilization, where now instead of like moving the lenses around, they're just moving the sensor around. And that's cool because that's what you get on like a real like handheld camera. But it did make me remember about my the camera that I bought 5 years ago from Olympus, which I still use and love. It was great when I first bought it, and then like a year or two later, I got this email with this, "Hey, download this new firmware update because now your camera can take 50 megapixel landscapes." And the technology is basically, at some point, engineers figure out that, gee, if we're taking using this handy Post-it note as an example, that if we're able to like make micro moves, micro adjustments to the position of the sensor to, you know, do image stabilization, that also means that if the thing is fast enough, we can take the shot, then move the image sensor a little bit, so that now we're getting the information between those two pixels, then move it another little bit to get another piece of information between other pixels, and build a pretty legit detailed image that's way, way more density. So obviously Apple didn't announce it. Apple didn't even hint at it. Apple only said that, hey, look, we've got this new method of image stabilization. But I could so easily predict, so easily imagine a company like Apple doing like a surprise in February or March saying, oh, by the way, here's the new iPhone. Here's the new iPhone. It takes 40 megapixel pictures. Oh, by the way, you already own it, period. Download the new operating system.
Yeah.
I've always, I've got a XS Max at the moment, and I'm not, I didn't upgrade to the 11, although I looked at it and thought, oh, I really like that with the wider angle lens. But I found I got a better thing by putting a wide-angle clip on, and then if it was too big, just using the 2x zoom to get it to be just less goldfish bowl, less fisheye. And this one though, I'm actually like, yeah, it's time to upgrade for me. I feel like this camera's doing a lot more for me than the XS Max was, and I cannot complain about this camera. This camera, I've had publications where I've got the cover photo for the publication for that month in industry magazines, and I've actually taken a picture on this, but don't tell any.
Yeah, that's it sickens me that I have this really, again, I love this camera. I also have like a really, really good lens that costs twice as much of the camera. It's like a pro lens, and it sickens me whenever mm-hmm. I go onto Instagram, and sometimes even just in my desktop library, I think, my God, that really is a beautiful picture. Thank God I spent $1,500 on that camera and $2,000. Oh, I actually took that with a second generation, with an iPhone that's 2 years old. Okay, that's fine. No, it's okay as long as I got the picture. But it would have been great. It would have been great if the iPhone pictures like really, really sucked and justified my having a $4,000 camera every single time.
I got the 10R for the wife at Christmas, and she absolutely adores the images out of that. And there's nothing wrong with them. They're a bit they're a lot as clear, but there's nothing wrong.
Yeah. I have a DSLR sitting here that I haven't even touched in probably 2 years. I should probably sell that, to be honest.
what do you want for it?
Yeah, well, unless you can.
Yeah, I would suggest you connect it to a cam link and get your live stream on.
Yeah, use it as your camera.
Camera doesn't do... Well, it could still do it.
Watch it does, internet, mate.
It does even 1080p or anything.
It's a Canon, right?
Yeah, 5D Mark II.
Yeah, you can use webcam utility, and you don't even have to buy a capture card. Just plug it right in. It's better than the one that's on your computer, no matter what it is.
Yeah, I'll go with that, definitely. Differences between the cameras then. There's the new Super Gorilla Glass in all of these, which is not Gorilla Glass, but... Gorilla...
Ceramic. Yeah. Ceramic.
Gorilla on acid glass.
Ceramic shield. Yeah.
But
that's the word I was looking for.
The LiDAR scanner, that's the one thing to separate, is really that the LiDAR scanner is massively important in the 12 Pro. And it'd be interesting to see where they go with that in terms of the AR stuff, because it could be, some of the stuff that they showed there, I know it was fakery, but you're like, if that is actually scanning at that level of accuracy, that's going to be super.
Yeah.
And it's not just for AR. It is actually for photography as well. They're using it to make your focus and everything faster and better.
That's why I'm excited about LiDAR in the Pro line.
Yeah, I was really curious because you make a good point about we don't really know what was fakery for the point of illustration and what was actually technically accurate. I definitely believed every example where they're showing people with the new iPhone using the LiDAR to map out a room, like the dimensions of an empty room, and result in these walls are 12 foot 4 inches wide, the ceiling is 18. I absolutely buy that. But there was, I think it was when they're talking about, just like you say, Patrice, using the LiDAR and the 3D info to create better pictures. They did that sort of like graphical sort of thing where here's the picture. Oh, look, here we are. We're having fun and we're having a picnic. And then they do it suddenly turns into a wireframe and it turns around a little bit so you can see here's all the depth information that this thing can take. And the level of detail on the faces in this little animation was way, way more detailed than I thought was going to be, because the camera, so to speak, would have been maybe 10 feet away from the subject, but you could still see like the brow line, you could still see the nose, you would recognize the shape of this face as being one person and not the other. And if that's the level of detail that it can extract from a scene, that could be a huge game changer. I really want to see Apple actually say, no, this is actually, we actually pulled raw sensor data off to build this 3D model. Yes, we made it just for demonstration purposes, but yes, no, this is actually legit data.
No one's waiting to speak then, right, okay.
Yeah.
I thought LiDARs.
One thing that stands out with the 12 Pro Max is the fact of I can't believe it, 65 millimeter telephoto with 5x optical zoom. I mean that it's incredible. I mean that's why. I mean I've always bought the larger size. I've got the 11 Pro Max right now. I'm totally going with this one. I waited, but this just puts it over the edge. It's just what a phenomenal camera this thing's got.
Even both of the pros are going to get the 1.6 f-stop on the wider side too. So that's going to be kind of incredible. Right now, the bokeh, it can get hokey at times, especially on the edges and stuff like that. So I want to see how much mixing that with the LiDAR sensor is able to clean that process up. I mean, it's fully, perfect for stuff you throw on Instagram or whatever. But like I use my iPhone a lot to get images that I can easily cut out for thumbnails and whatnot like that. And so when the bokeh kind of kills the edges around the hat or your fingers, it gets a little messy. So it'd be real interesting to see with that new 1.6, it's able to like clean up now that you're adding the LiDAR sensor. So that's quite amazing.
Yeah.
And nobody's even mentioned the video part. And Bob Beach put it in the chat room. 4K,
didn't even get to that part yet.
HDR Dolby video.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, HDR is interesting, yeah.
That floored me. When we were watching that, I melted. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
I'm going to sell my Sony FP5.
I just want to mention the zoom is not 5x, the optical zoom. It's actually, it's from 0.5 to 2.5, which is, yeah, five times 0.5.
Right.
Not a 5x optical zoom.
Okay.
The other thing to talk about then is MagSafe. And I've got to say, I was a bit cynical about this because I remember Apple pulling their Air Charger and saying, oh, well, we're not going to do it now. And I think they've just gone away and thought, right, we've got all of this stuff that we put into the air charging system. Cheese beaten us to it. We've been too slow with it. So actually, we need to think of a reason to make sure that people buy our charger, everyone else's. Oh, yeah, it's a centering issue. So here's MagSafe, and it solves the centering. I was a bit cynical about that, I have to say. I was really, really upbeat about the rest of the presentation. I really liked it, but I thought that was a bit of bullshit.
I'm with you, Ewan. I was dead cynical too, and I asked this question to Andy on Tuesday. I was like, okay, since maybe like 3 years ago, when was the last time you missed the charger? And nobody has missed the charger in over 3 years. So that little thing about, oh, you laid on the charger and you probably miss it. But then they come to find out that every single one of us on the panel use our easel chargers. So, of course, we don't miss. But still, I just don't miss the charger.
You know what? This I keep building on this impression that I get that we're seeing evidence of a brand new phase of Apple. Like, if you look back in history, there are these inflection points, and there's the obvious one of when Steve Jobs came back. But even before and after that, there are points at which you seem to think that something has shifted in the culture somehow. And I think that we're at an inflection point right now where Apple is beginning to make the best of both worlds, having that amazing engineering ability, also that the best industrial design, I think, in the business, but also tempered with, okay, but we're building practical things for actual people to actually use. What's the best solution for this? So whereas old-style Apple was, we're going to reinvent engineering to create a brand-new hexagonal recharging pad so that no matter where the person places it on the pad, it will find a charging point and will solve a problem. The new Apple, and the engineering is so complicated that they had to, can it to begin at the very end, whereas a new Apple, if what I'm thinking about is in any way true, is like, or we could just put a magnet in the middle of it so that just like with our watch, it just finds the sweet spot and clicks there. It's like, oh, that's right. It would solve the problem, would be a lot more reliable and simple, and maybe we could actually ship that. And plus, what I love is just the opportunity. I've never had a problem on any of my wireless phones on hitting the charging pad. But the idea of, hey, here's a protocol or here's a standard for accessories that now you can add so that if you want just a little card wallet on your phone, just add it to whatever you've got. They were a little bit vague about how they were mentioning how third parties could make accessories and the phone could sense what kind of an accessory it was. So the possibility of having an accessory that could sort of communicate that, oh, by the way, I've got a cutout window here for the time. So basically make sure that the time is always visible or something like that. That's also really, really intriguing. But I like the fact that they took a problem that wasn't important, but they found a simple way to make it not only a solved problem, but also kind of cool.
Jeff, you had a point there. Go.
Oh, no, I was actually just looking at my my charging pad that I have on my desk.
and you'd missed it.
It's this.
And do you ever miss it? And do you ever miss it?
I've never missed it. It's not one of
do you
the,
long
the
for
standard
it? Do you
charges.
Pine for it?
You might ever think about the fact that we're going to have removable pop sockets. Not that I hate those things. I just straight hate them. I don't know why. I just have a complete distaste when I see people with pop sockets on their phone. I just immediately think bad about them. But we can have things like now, removable pop sockets.
If you took care of your phone, you wouldn't need a special prippy socket to get in it.
Go on, Trace.
Put your boy band picture.
Who here thinks that MagSafe is the first step towards a like a connectorless iPhone?
Bingo.
Yeah, we talked about that. That's bingo. That's it.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And the amount of machinations already happening in the tech sphere, the Samsung snapback ad, Samsung, go blow up a phone. of like removing the charger, and like again, and everyone says, well, yeah, tech people. Somebody mentioned this in one of the articles that blew me up. Tech people might have all these fancy GAN chargers and stuff like that, but regular people still use their Apple charger. And I'm like, nah, bro. I have a whole entire family full of Apple people, regular people. I'm the only one that knows how to, you know, set the clock on the VCR, and yet none of them use
VCR.
Their stock
Apple our charger. Demographics, please. We're I'm too young to know what a VCR is. That a networking protocol? Oh gosh.
But yeah, it's just funny. Like it's every year they take something, no matter what it is, and turn it into the thing. And so this one, before the phones even hit, is going to be charger gate. And then like, I mean, Adam did the research last year, and I forgot what the numbers were, but Adam did the research as to how many people are using basically non-specified MFI chargers, and the amount was up into the 80s. So, like, I wouldn't suggest you use a non-MFI charger at this point, but with the way gallium chargers are, the fact that you can buy the new Anker for $18 this week because of Prime, and it puts out way more power, it fast charges. I think the gallium one for Anker is like a 20-watt. I use a 100-watt Hyperjuice gallium charger. Like, it's so much lighter. It's so much faster. It's better. Like, why even bother with the stock charger anyway? I don't get it. Everyone's freaking out. Mm.
I don't think it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just opposed to people who are either absolutely up in arms about this is horrible or this is anti-consumer. I'm also up in arms about people. I'm also kind of like there are people that are like, there's something that you used to give us that is actually quite handy that you're not giving us now. It's kind of a bummer. But my only strong opinion is that there are so many really, really crappy, cheap, no-name chargers out there, and some of them damage the phone, some of them are fire hazards. It was always a really, really reassuring thing to know that everybody who buys an iPhone will own at least one really well-done, safe, and effective charger. And it would be great if Apple, I would have absolutely no reservations whatsoever if Apple said, you know what, we're going to sell whatever the little marshmallow-sized charger that we would have thrown in there, we're going to sell that basically at cost. So that's here's if you can buy either a $5 no name charger from Amazon, or you can buy an $8 Apple branded charger from us, your choice.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I have a question, but you know, there's most people on the iPhone sphere, this is not their first phone, right?
Yeah.
There will be a handful of people, like for you, if you decide to switch back, this will be your first one in a while. So in your situation, the charger missing could sort of be a deal, but you can honestly still use your Samsung charger to charge your iPhone. But the amount of people that already have a phone, this is not their first. There's most people, this is their fifth, sixth, or seventh. It's a no start. I mean, it's a non-issue, but it's funny that it's an issue because, like, your old charger works, player. Like, the reason why I've never taken one out of the box forever is I've been using the same one since we first got the green dot.
I gotta say, as a person who like gets lots and lots of phones for review, and sometimes they're like cheap phones and the manufacturer doesn't want them back. And when I clean house, I'll go into like the closet in my office and just be like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, like of these cheap like commodity phones. And I've already got the phones stored someplace else. But when I'm throwing out these boxes, I always go, okay, one pair of headphones, one charger, put that in the bin. One pair of headphones, one charger, put it in the bin. When I moved 3 years ago, I literally had like a big plastic tub full of like no-name USB chargers and little headphones. So as I'm saying that, oh, well, it's a little bit of a bummer. Yeah, I also acknowledge that it's not just maybe unnecessary for a lot of people. It's enough of a e-waste problem that the EU is trying to legislate common standards to make sure we're not creating one-of-a-kind chargers that are just going to get thrown out later on.
Mm. I think a problem that MagSafe and I was thinking about this for the HomePod Mini might suffer with as well is the fact that there's already a huge market there for it, and a lot of people, I think, will have already decided to go one way or the other. So with MagSafe, a lot of people who want a wireless charger will already have one. So I don't see how Apple are going to attract people to actually buy their stuff. It's a bit different with a HomePod Mini.
There are
people
that will buy it because they think it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps, yeah, but is it going to be something like a lightning cable you're going to go to Apple and buy because you know that it's a quality product? Whereas you can go on Amazon, and as Doc said, you could spend £20 on a really good anchor charger that will do a good job.
There are two things that haven't been talked about yet. And I agree with Andy completely. I love the fact that it solves the problem. But the other thing, and this is what I was reading, I obviously don't know yet, but I think the MagSafe allegedly can charge faster than just the regular.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Regular Qi charging. Nice. So, you know, now we have a problem solved and an extra feature, an improvement. And that to me makes, you know, this, I mean, I heard what you said, Ewan, and I respectfully disagree for those two reasons. It does solve a problem that a lot of people do have, but it also adds that extra feature so that I get faster charging. That may not be important to me if I just charge it overnight, big deal. But if you have a situation where you need your phone charged fast, you have a new solution. Yeah.
I have a feeling that it lowers the barrier to wireless charging for normal people. I mean, yeah, everybody who knows anything about this probably already and cares about wireless charging probably still has or already has like one or 10 of them. But normal people, I think, I mean, there's like a barrier. Like you have to go out to Amazon, find one that you like, order it, yeah, look at the reviews, all of that. I mean, yeah, Apple sold some, but they didn't really market it that well. Now they have something, and now it's from Apple, so that you can just go out and say, okay, like I'm getting a new iPhone.
Yeah, but I think
the matching charger.
The speed of charging things proprietary, isn't it? That won't be released. That won't be a ubiquitous thing like the Qi system. It will be if you buy an Apple charger, it will charge faster. If you don't, tough shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. Exactly that's not good. No, that's not enough. Bob Beach is saying in the chat room, but don't forget Apple ProRes RAW. It's not RAW, mate, because it's still compression. I know all RAW is compressed technically, but I really struggle with that as an idea of proper RAW.
Well, it's still, the thing is, with computational photography on all these devices, now there really is no, when you talk about a RAW file, you're not just talking about, we used to talk about, just give me the RAW numbers that came off the sensor, don't put it through an image processor, don't try to interpret it into a JPEG, don't compress it, don't do anything, don't do any color matching or anything. Now, on a phone, the JPEG that it creates is based on the raw data from the sensor, also distance data from the LiDAR, others data they pulled in from other lenses and other sensors that at the same time. And so there needs to be, we need to sort of like, just like we have to, at some point we have to sort of grasp the fact that, okay, yes, a tomato is technically a fruit, not a vegetable, but here's how the humans have adapted the word vegetable, and it means that we now have to start calling this a vegetable. I think that's what we're gonna have to talk about with raw.
I'm gonna get emails for this.
I'm writing one right now.
Right. So no, the point is that if you're talking about anything that Apple is doing where they're spitting out a file of a certain size, there has to be a compression process within it. So even from the state of the fact that you take a picture in RAW on your camera and you look at a picture on the back that is a representation of that, there is a conversion process that shows you it as pixel data as opposed to RAW data. That can't not happen. So when you open Photoshop, you say, right, I'm looking at the RAW image. No, you aren't. You're looking at the RAW image converted by camera raw and shown to you as pixel data, and when you make changes it then converts that into still pixel data for you to physically see it, because you can't physically see raw data. But the problem I've got with is the amount of compression that takes place to it. So if you're talking about 8-bit or 10-bit compression you get with a standard Nikon for example, then
DNG.
There is no, not DNG, with the standard Nikon file, then you will get a level of compression associated with it. You can't not have compression. But what bothers me is that my camera takes a picture and the image is 54 megabytes. I take a picture with a 12 megapixel phone camera and all of a sudden it's 2.5 megabytes. Don't tell me it's then RAW. I get what they're doing. They've got RAW data and then they are compressing it so that you can see it and putting it as pixel data. But I've got a hard time with this idea that it is absolutely raw and there is no compression. There are not lost artifacts within it.
You're confusing lossy and lossless compression. You can, anything you send, like text, if you send text over the web, it is compressed and decompressed and it's the same after. There's a difference between that. And what Apple and a lot of others are saying is there is no Like if you process it into a JPEG, there's compression because there's lossy compression that you cannot revert. You cannot get back to the original raw data from the chip.
That's why you're showing it as pixel data and not a JPEG.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you can still have a raw file that is compressed, that is smaller than it would be, but you can get back to the original. And that's
because to Patrice's point and to Andy's point, there's a Red Cine back there, and a Red Dragon, and it's raw. It's still compressed. It's a lossless compression, but when you bring it into the conversion program and you put it into your Final Cut or Premiere or whatever, you are getting the best that you can get from that sense of data. But in order to transfer that data from the drive into the computer, it is compressed. But it starts out, just think of the days of UU encode, UU decode, right? That's sort of the best that I can explain it and without getting real complicated into 10-bit raw. It's still no real, this is exactly what the sensor is, because that's untransferable by any hard drives we have up to date. You know, it's just not going to work for a red level camera. So even on a red, which is probably the best you're going to get out of a digital cine camera, except maybe the new Blackmagic that just came out,
it's
still compressed.
I don't have a problem with that, other than the fact that the file that's coming out is not an awful lot bigger than a JPEG. There's no one that's got compression like that that's then lossless. I just don't have that.
Apple says it's lost.
Good luck to them, mate. If I'm wrong, I'll quite happily eat me hat. That's not an issue. And me hat that's turned sideways because I'm not an old fart. But I just don't see it myself. There's a bit of there's a small smell that goes with that statement. I'm sorry. This podcast and all the others is thankfully supported by people that don't care about what we actually produce, because otherwise they wouldn't back us at all. TSO hosts are absolutely amazing. They look after us indubitably. They are superb. We've done all our podcasts through them. They look after all the hosting, the bandwidth, everything, and we love them. You've got to love them too. Simple as that. And that love doesn't mean you've got to buy shed loads of stuff from them. If you do want to buy it, that's great. There's an offer code, BTN20, gets you 20% off your hosting services. But what we need you to do is just get out on the socials. And a lot of people have been doing this the last couple of weeks. So thank you to those people that have bothered their asses to do it, because it does make the difference. And we've had some feedback from them. Get out there and say, at TSO host, you are amazing for supporting at British Tech. Thank you for supporting at British Tech. God love at TSO host for supporting at British Tech. If we lose their support, these podcasts stop, plain and simple. And if we don't get donations as well, then we also lose the news show, which comes from Kyle every day. And all we need is just $5 from every single person that listens to that new show, and we could pay Carl to do it full-time. It would not be an issue. So please, do both things, britishtechnetwork.com/subscriptions, and get yourself onto TSO hosts. And also, the wonderful boys at IMN Max, they love us so much, they force Callum every week. Mo straps him to a chair, Joe holds him down, and he's belted to that chair, and he cannot physically move until after the show. Yeah? They run risk of criminal prosecution to send him along here for assault. No, they don't. They repair anything with an Apple logo. They have repaired and got data back from a phone from Hawaii, even, or Maui. But you can get anything from them. If you want to have got some old components and that kind of stuff, then have a word with them, and they'll give you an offer, and you say yes, and Ian Lewis said yes, and they sent him a UPS label, he sent it in, and within 2 hours he got the money in his bank account. So you've got loads of things that you can get from these guys. They are superb, including data recovery and repair of anything with an Apple logo on, especially the legacy stuff, and it's component level repairs, so instead of completely replacing a logic board, they will just pop out the chip that's the problem and put a new one in. Callum, have we got a machine of the week?
We do. So this week we've got quite a lot of MacBook Airs in. So they're 2014 machines, so they can still go to the latest OS and then go on to Big Sur as well. And we're selling those for £550. Wow. With a 6-month warranty as well. And you get 5% off with BTN2.
Of course. I forgot about the 5%. You've got to mention BTN, though, otherwise you don't get the 5%. Simpler.
You got to mention it.
Thank you very much. Time for the cool thing. We need to do this fairly swiftly, I would have said that, because we've been a while. Doc, have you got a cool thing?
Yes. I just popped the link in the chat. I already have the current issue version of this GAN charger right now, but since we had all the speak on it, I thought I would bring this up again. I currently have the standard issue Hyperjuice 100-watt GAN charger, which features two 100-watt USB-C power delivery ports and two 18-watt USB 3 power delivery ports. But they just started the Kickstarter. There's only 10 days left to go, but they got really incredible deals on this new one. And it's basically the same thing with the exception of there's a 65-watt version and a 100-watt version. And what's really cool about these guys is they're stackable. So it comes out roughly the size of a pack of gum, a little bit bigger. Think like the fat gum. And then you pull the duck lips out and you can just crank them up and you can stack them, I believe, 17 or 18 deep. On the site, they show pictures of compared to a box of Tic Tacs or a box of now Mentos, which they sell. So you can see it's really, really tiny. And again, the thing about gallium nitride chargers is that's where you should be doing. You should take pretty much any charger you have now and 86 them and switch to gallium because they're lighter, they're more efficient, they're better delivery, they're safer, all of the above. Now, what's cool about these, not only can you stack them, when it's plugged into the wall, that duct does not take away that socket because it has a socket on the back that will handle up to 1,500 watts, so you can even run a fan. I wouldn't do space heater or wifey's blow dryer, but other things, when you have a power thing in the wall, you're not like losing it because you have a brick in the wall. Sorry, Pink Floyd.
Thank you, mate. If you're in the UK, tough shit.
Why?
Because it's American connections.
This Hyperjuice is international. I'm sure they have...
reckon they got a clip-on front for the UK? In that case, wow, yeah. Fantastic pick, mate. but if there's no three-point charger, tough shit, UK.
Look at the original one and see what
don't get
the
all
UK
defensive.
I'm pretty sure they have a... I'm sure, because Hyperjuice has been around forever.
Don't get all defensive, mate. I'm only taking the mic.
I don't know what that is. That's a racial slur to people in Boston.
No, because Micks are Irish people.
That was a joke, dude. It was a joke.
No!
Move on.
Oh, talking...
Too late. You've already been cancelled. hashtag is already trending. Sorry.
This is the reason Leo doesn't invite me to the show. Not once have I been on Mac Break Weekly.
You know the reason why he doesn't invite you to the show.
Do.
Don't stop pretending.
I do God know, yeah.
Damn it. That's one of the reasons why they don't invite you to the show.
Yeah, but I've got those pictures, mate.
Yeah, but you took you take with this crappy like old iPhone to get the depth of field.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure it is Leo in the picture, but Mr. Anatko, have you got a cool thing?
I think I have a very cool thing. I'll try to make this really quick, but I have been like collecting like old like Sony like tape players, and there's a certain iconic device that I can't afford.
I can't give you a link because I bought the last one on eBay.
Yeah, I just added this to my collection that I think you will recognize. I see I fooled you. It is not actually an original Sony Walkman. It is a 16,000 milliamp hour battery charger that also supports wireless charging.
Oh.
It has USB 3. It has USB-C. It has USB 3. So it does work really, really well just as like a powerful battery charger. But also, oh my God, they got almost every detail correct.
That is this brilliant
thing. Even wow. Like the volume sliders actually slide. You can actually push the button, like the button that like lets you activate the charger is like the orange button that you used to use for like to mute the mic and stuff like that. So I'm good now. I mean, not that I would ever spent like $800 for like a working original like vintage version one Walkman, but I'm good. I just want the design and something that will actually be useful for me. And yeah, playing cassettes is not really very useful for me when I have high definition audio.
You're gonna go out now around Boston and you're gonna put that on and think everyone's gonna think it's a Sony Walkman. And this kid's going to go, Mom, look at that dude with an old player thing with his cap turned sideways.
It's no, it's going to be, oh my God, he has the original movie prop from that Marvel movie from he's a Warrior from the Galaxy.
Yes.
It's not that expensive. It's $40. It's from a company called New Wave Toys, newwavetoys.com. And they're such a cool company. They also make like replicas of like arcade cabinets. And I mean like 10-inch, like 12-inch, like Barbie-sized arcade cabinets of like eighties video games that actually work, like they actually play Dig Dug and Galaxia and Defender, and that I couldn't justify those because those are $100 and they're just a toy, but I was able to talk myself into, but it's a battery charger. We could use a battery charger, don't we? Like, fine, buy your damn toy battery charger.
$50 to the first person in Boston that walks up to Andy and Natco and goes, Star-Lord?
It's happened, you know, and it's happened.
And I'll give Andy $20. I'll give Andy $20 if his reply is finally.
When I don't, you know, when I don't shave for a couple. No, usually it's Chris Evans they mistake me for, but
no, I can't.
If they mistake me for the dude from Parks and Rec, that's fine too. Just give me my space. I'm trying to have dinner here. I'll take the selfie after dinner. Just don't get my kids in the shot, please. I know you love my work and my movies.
Yeah, but the thing is, Andy, when they shout "That's America's ass" at you, they're not talking about your rear end.
Usually they are. That's refreshing.
Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
Not nearly as cool, but still kind of cool. It's a widget pack for iOS 14, and it's called Fidgets. And it's all widgets that pull data from HealthKit for you. So you can have like your step count or your, like in my case, my sleep data. Just
because you don't do steps.
Screen as a widget. I talked over you. I missed the joke.
Normally you can do your step count, but in my case, you can do your sleep count because you don't do steps.
Perfect.
Stuff physical exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, it's $2 and it's made by Marcel Schmitz. And I point that out only because Marcel is a really cool guy. And cool, send Marcel. Him a couple bucks.
Marcel's a cool name. I like that. Good pick, mate. Patrice, what have you got for us?
I'm going to pick a podcast since Star Trek is coming back. We just finished Lower Decks, and now we're going into Discovery. The podcast is called Vulcan Hello, and it's from the Incomparable Network. Really good podcast, very few episodes. They're not doing like let's review every episode of every Star Trek show ever. They're just watching whatever is live. They did like, I think, 2 episodes for Lower Decks only, where they like the first part, like the first 3 episodes and then the rest. They're doing like a week-by-week view of Discovery now. So every week they're going to watch the latest episode and then like talk about it. It's Jason Snell and Scott McNulty. So they're probably well-known. Scott McNulty also has Random Track, for example, which is a really good Star Trek podcast. Highly recommend it. It's always fun, those two. And they do the bigger panel shows. Like, I think they did a wrap-up of, what was it, Picard, I think? I think it was Picard. God. With, like, basically everybody. Like, Glenn Fleischman, Aline Sims, and so on. Like, a lot of people.
I'd managed to forget that Discovery was coming back today, but I've made myself a promise. I'm going to give it one episode, and if it doesn't, because I forced myself to sit through 2 episodes of that, two series of that shit last year. If that comes out as the first episode shite, I'm done. I'm not even going to go on to the second one.
Speaks a man in pain, people.
It broke me. It nearly broke me. And Picard, holy crap. What a bag of shit that was. We know you did, Patrice, but we're not... we're not interested.
Patrice, I really enjoyed Discovery too.
Patrice, you're out of your Vulcan mind.
We love you, Patrice. Please don't. We don't need to dogpile on. Patrice, we all have our favorites. We all can. Yeah. If we celebrate and support fans of all creation, that means that we are only we shouldn't be upset because someone else is happy. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, we're but all equally, happy
unless he's. Unless it's Discoverer, then no.
Well, Patrice, you have to. I know you get really passionate about it, and you get really upset when we all say it's when most of us say it's shit. But we are allowed to think it's shit, mate.
Yeah, you can.
You know, it's okay.
I want to watch it.
No, but the thing is, it's because of you that I keep going back and thinking it's going to get better. If you just let it go, I wouldn't do it.
Let me tell you about Einstein. He had a saying.
I cut Picard off at episode 2, and then you're going, no, it's really good. 3 is brilliant. So I watched 3. I'm like, oh, what have I done?
Hey, but Lower Decks is good.
Hey, Patrice, have you watched episode 1 of season 3 yet?
No, because I couldn't get it for some reasons here.
I enjoyed it, and the Easter eggs to previous series, I really enjoyed in this episode too.
We didn't get it. Now, we talked about this last week. We talked about this last week. The boys and the season finale popped up. Mm-hmm. Literally, I was on my phone. Literally, I was walking out the door last week at 6 o'clock. So we don't get it at midnight or any of that kind of crap. It's always delayed for us. Anyway, that's not the point. Chuck, what's your cool theme, mate?
I'm going to kind of go with this theme, and especially based on our pre-show discussion, and pick something I'll put in the chat room called Star Trek Continues. If you were a fan of the original series, this is well worth what it is. It is it was conceived to go beyond the canceled season, the last season was broadcast and continued the 5-year mission.
Of the original.
It's a fan film, but don't let that put you off. It takes fan films to a whole new level. It's borderline professional production. These are people that really, they care about Star Trek. They cared about the original series. They went to incredible lengths to duplicate the look and feel of all of it. Yeah. And best of all, it's free on the web. Go watch it. You'll love it. I promise.
No, that was picked last night, actually, as well, on the big show. So it's a great pick. The lighting is the same. Just the first episode, looking at the lighting that they got the lighting exactly right. Super.
Yeah. Isn't and I have to say this about it, that they also bring back some of the guest stars from the real first Star Trek series, and also some other people that... other Star Trek actors that you will see. So you'll see some familiar faces in there as well as the new cast.
Cal, you were adding something there?
We should warn you, some of those actors are in jars right now. But the fact that even that first date wanted them to be part of this reboot says something about the integrity of the production.
Cal, what were you going to say?
I think I've watched a couple, and if I'm right, isn't Scotty in it? James Doohan's son in real life.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
It is the one, mate. It's very good here.
Excellent. While you're on, mate, give us your cool thing.
Just popped it in the chat. My cool thing is a new keyboard that I brought. So it's very good. It's by Logitech. It only costs £35. I wanted something that was a bit more compact on my desk, save some space, because I wasn't using the number pad on my Magic Keyboard 2. It's really nice. I know, contrary to what Jeff says, it does type quite nicely. And it's good value. And it works really nicely with the Mac as well.
£28.08, and it's on Prime.
There you go.
Nice round key. They look kind of cool. Is it pleasant to type on?
Yeah, I have no issues typing on it. I think it's really nice. Connects with the Mac really well as well. So, I've had it for about a week now. I've had no issues with it, so it's nice.
Cool. Good pick, mate. Thank you. Last but by no means least, Mr. David. Tell us what.
Yes, I have. I just upgraded my wireless network here in my house. I went with a mesh system. I just put the link in the chat. It's a Netgear Nighthawk mesh Wi-Fi 6 system. Comes with the 3 devices. You got the router with 2 satellites. Setup was amazingly easy. I used my iPhone to do the whole setup. It was all set up, ready to go. The Wi-Fi coverage is amazing. Goes about speeds about 1.8 gigabits, worked flawlessly. I was able to keep the same Wi-Fi SSID, and everything just came right over really easy. In fact, in the States and at Costco, I was able to find it for $199 US for the 3, and really great unit. I was real happy with it. Only downfall to it, it only has 1 Ethernet port, so I had to use the existing switch I had to expand, because of course, we all have wired connections we need. So, but other than that, great little buy. You don't have to spend a ton of money on a mesh system. That's Wi-Fi 6.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Michael Thing, if we're going on the theme of picking what other people picked last night, I've got to just reinforce it. Jeff's little game Upspell. He picked it on the big show last night. It's a little app for your iPhone, and it's kind of a bit like Scrabble lettering and numbering and scoring, but you get 90 seconds or 45 seconds or 60 seconds to upload then words that you've got, and you get a score for it. And I'm doing pretty badly at the moment. My maximum is 106. So, but it's absolutely brilliant. Upspell available. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internets at DOCROCK and primarily at youtube.com/DocRock, doing a bunch of training about live streaming and starting and growing a YouTube channel.
Excellent. Mr. Natko?
You have to be able to spell my last name, I-H-N-A-T-K-O, but I'm at Anatko on Instagram and Twitter. I have a website that I am in the two-week process of rebuilding and relaunching, assuming that I did not screw it up when I updated my PHP stuff, but that also Anatko.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for coming along. Look forward to seeing you again soon, I hope.
Please.
Mr. Gamut, where would you be?
Twitter and Instagram, jgamut on both, and on the big show yesterday, Mac show today, pretty much everyone else's podcast. And on October 28th, I am moderating a panel on a meetup group that is just starting up on automating with Zapier. Excuse me. So October 28th, it's going to be a very cool group of people talking about how they're using Zapier to automate all kinds of stuff. And I just dropped a link to that into the chat.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Patrice, where would you be?
Well, I'm also here, like Jeff, every week on the Big Show and on the Mac Show. Everything I do, all the social medias and everything on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback. The next episode that I'm hopefully publishing this week is with Big Chris Ashley. And then I have Brett Terpstra. Brett Terpstra. I'm blanking on the name now. That's awesome.
He remembers your surname.
Coming up next. I was just thinking T.T. Scoff.
I forgot David's surname a minute ago, so I can't talk.
No, he's coming up next. And then I definitely have to schedule something with Andy.
That sounds like someone's patting up the vein so that they can shoot up.
Like I said, I'm 20 minutes late on the entire drug load here. You're really screwing me up here. It's herbal. Poppies come from the earth, people.
Mr. Joyner.
I'm here on the Mac show every chance I get, every Friday if possible, because I love it. This is a place I laugh the most all week. The rest of the time,
I'm not surprised you're in insurance.
MacVoices.com is where you can find me, and on social media, I'm at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, you.
Always good having you, mate. Every week you want to come on, you're more than welcome. Mr. Callum, where are you?
You can find me sat on Dave Ginsberg's shoulder and everything we do at immmax.com. We're on all the socials at immmax. I'm in the Slack room. At O'Hara Callum on Twitter. If you've got any questions, anything you want to ask any of us, you're more than welcome to.
Excellent, mate. And make sure you get your stuff in if you want to get anything repaired. And Mr. Ginsberg.
Yes, I'm happy to be on the Mac Show every week here whenever possible. And I'm on my podcast, In Touch with iOS, at intouchwithios.com. Mr. Gamut will be on the show next week. Looking forward to that. And my Twitter is DaveG65.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. Listen to The Daily Show every day with Carl Swagger, the BTN news show. It's available on the website. And we'll be back next week with the big show on Thursday night and the Mac show on Friday, as normal. Should be good fun. Have a great weekend. Listening.